QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for February 18, 2015. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Mount Hamilton Classic Road Race, Communications Challenges Posed to Operators. Tip, Blackout Buddy. Lake Amateur Radio Association in Florida presents President's Award. Letters, and we have three, on the importance of reporting, web-based reporting, and follow-up on 5-year-old Aries member. Amateur Radio Saved My Life, and Aries Reporting. But first, we have news in brief. The Government of Canada will provide more than $25,000 to the St. Lucia Amateur Radio Club to improve amateur radio coverage and communication in that small Caribbean island nation in the event of a disaster. The project will install 2 repeater systems, including solar backup power, train 90 radio operators, and increase coverage for all of St. Lucia's 18 districts. The Department of Homeland Security's Office of Emergency Communications will offer its auxiliary communications course on May 12th through May 14th prior to Hamvention 2015 in Dayton, Ohio. Amateur radio emergency service teams and sky-worn weather observers along the U.S. Eastern Seaboard went on alert Monday, January 26th, as a winter storm began working its way into the Northeast. The storm, which brought blizzard conditions to some areas, shut down transportation and kept residents at home in several states. Eastern Massachusetts and the city of Boston may have been hardest hit, with near-record snowfall amounts and storm surge flooding in some coastal communities. Aries units on Cape Cod deployed to staff 6 shelters and the Multi-Agency Coordination Center, which serves Barnstable County. Mount Hamilton Classic Road Race, Communications Challenges Posed to Operators. The Mount Hamilton Classic Road Race near San Jose, California, is a 63.5-mile road course for bicycles that climbs 4,500 feet in the first 20 miles to the top of Mount Hamilton, and then continues 43 miles through remote ranch lands to the finish in Livermore, California. The bike race is sponsored by Summit Bicycles and the San Jose Bicycle Club. For at least 15 years, the Livermore Amateur Radio Club, with help from San Jose Races, supported the event with radio communications. Amateur radio operators are assigned to the downhill portions where accidents are more likely to occur. Bottoms of downgrades are chosen for checkpoints. The amateur radio operator will either see the accident or other racers will inform the operator of an accident as they pass the checkpoint. The net control station then directs the appropriate investigation of the incident. Often the rider has gotten up, back on his bike, and continued, or the injuries were minor. Unfortunately, some of the accidents require a hospital visit, and some victims are airlifted to the facility by helicopter. Of course, the problem faced by hams at the bottom of downgrades is that they are in the worst place for radio communications coverage. Hills or canyon rims block or diminish VHF signals that travel mostly by line of sight. Over the years, however, the communications plan has evolved to a point where it works well. Formerly, a net control station on the mountain could hear and communicate with most checkpoints. But the checkpoint stations could not hear each other. so all traffic needed to be repeated by net control stations via repeaters. A larger problem occurred when one checkpoint was transmitting important information and another station, hearing nothing on the frequency, also began transmitting. More doubles were occurring and less information was getting passed. A repeater system would solve most of the problems, so constructing a portable repeater system was started. The geologic aspects of the western side of Mount Hamilton had posed problems for communicators until the last couple of years. There are two ridges between the summit and the race's start line, which is on the edge of a hill at the bottom of the mountain. Operators there could not hear a station at the summit. The workaround first tried was for communications to be handled by simplex to another ham checkpoint in a clear location with a relay to the net control station. Multiple 440 MHz repeaters were then tried over the years, but the locations of all involved just didn't quite work. Finally, an existing but closed linked 440 MHz repeater was tried after coordination with system operators who opened the repeater for the day for the race operation. This repeater now provides the efficient and effective coverage needed, working perfectly on the west side of the mountain and to the net control station on the mountain. The portable 2-meter repeater was finished and placed on a small hill partway down the east side of the mountain. This provided coverage for a large portion of the rest of the race course route. All of the checkpoints on the first 25 miles of road from the summit can access this repeater even with just an HT. An unanticipated benefit was that newer hams with just an HT were equipped to help effectively. Thanks to Arnold Harding, KQ6DI, member of the Livermore, California Amateur Radio Club, for this report. Now it's time to pause and allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for February 18, 2015. Tip, Blackout Buddy. Frank Crizan, KR1ZAN, in Saxe, Texas, tells us, "I just got an ad from Radio Shack and saw this device. It's a Red Cross Blackout Buddy. Go to radioshack.com and search for Blackout Buddy. It might be good for a ham's go kit, especially for not having to worry about batteries going bad. Thanks, Frank." Lake Amateur Radio Association in Florida presents President's Award. On January 17, 2015, the Lake Amateur Radio Association of Florida presented its 2014 President's Award to John Walton, WB4HV. Mr. Walton is the first recipient of the President's Award. This award will be presented annually to the amateur radio member who has demonstrated meritorious service. Mr. Walton has demonstrated his dedication for many years and in many capacities. He works closely with the Lake County Amateur Radio Emergency Service by helping to provide emergency radio communications between emergency shelters and the Lake County Emergency Operations Center. Mr. Walton works with the Lake County government to provide official recognition of amateur radio operators who support Lake County emergency management and to make sure they are properly vetted. Now it's time for letters. And this month we have three. The first is titled On the Importance of Reporting and is from Art Goddard, W6XD in Costa Mesa, California. Mr. Goddard writes, "In regard to your opening editorial in last month's issue, I would like to call your readers' attention to A Report to America on the subject of the importance of amateur radio as a national resource. The documentation for it comes from field reports of public event, disaster, and emergency responses. The report showcases these responses and should convey to ARES officials and members the importance of reporting their activities to ARRL headquarters and other officials for such purposes. Not all reports will be showcased or otherwise published as anecdotal evidence, but almost all of them are included in hard numbers supporting our significance as a major public asset before regulatory agencies and the public at large. I hope the results of web-based ARES reporting will be summarized each year at the national level and will be included in future editions of this report. And we thank Art for his suggestion. Our next letter is titled Web-Based Reporting and comes from Roman Rusinek, KE6YCW. I enjoyed reading your lead editorial in last month's issue. Here in Kentucky, we've been using a web-based form to allow all ARES members to report their activities. The forms are completed and then get sent to a specific email box. I then take the emails and compile the information in an Excel spreadsheet. Once completed, I provide the spreadsheet to the Section Emergency Coordinator and ARES leadership team. The SEC then uses the summary information to complete his report to ARRL headquarters. I would say it takes about 3 hours a month for the manual processes I perform. Thanks to Roman for all your hard work. We appreciate it. Our final letter is from Jack Siachi, WM0G, the ARRL Colorado Section Manager, and is titled Follow-Up on 5-Year-Old ARES Member. Jack writes, in a follow-up to last month's news item on Colton Ragsdale, KE0CRD, the 5-year-old newly licensed ham, Colton Ragsdale also became an ARRL life member. Amateur radio saved my life. September 30, 2013, started out as a beautiful day in the east central Iowa town of Clinton on the Mississippi River. I had just left my job at the end of the day and wanted to enjoy the fabulous weather. I decided to throw my leg over my motorcycle and see what the fall countryside looked like. After an hour of riding, the wind whipped up to the point where I decided to head home. My route took me by a construction site on the edge of town. This is where everything went wrong. I must have been gawking at the construction site and not paying attention to the road. A big gust of wind hit me, and I landed in a 10-foot-deep ditch. I was unconscious, and when I woke in the ditch, by estimate an hour later, I had to figure out where I was. The motorcycle was on top of me, pressing me into the dirt wall of the ditch. I looked up and could see the edge of the road 6 feet above my head. I removed my helmet and considered my options deep in the ditch and unable to move my lower body. I heard cars approach and stuck up my hand and waved. Nobody stopped. They could not see me in the ditch. I thought about trying to throw my helmet onto the road to attract attention, but could not get my arms to work well. That is one of the last things I remembered for 6 days. The balance of my ordeal was conveyed to me long after the accident by friends and 2 daughters. I had been riding the motorcycle with an HT hooked to my pants pocket with a speaker mic attached to my collar. I was informed later that I had put out an emergency call on the 145.430 MHz machine in Clinton, Iowa. 2 ham friends heard the distress call and responded. One called 911. The other drove to the area I described on the radio. The next day, October 1, 2013, I was transported by ambulance to the hospital in Iowa City. CT scans revealed a broken back pinching the spinal column, 5 cracked vertebrae, a fractured pelvis, broken elbow, and a bleeding brain injury. A year of surgeries, infections, pneumonia, and physical therapy followed. I am grateful to be able to tell my story. Amateur radio, good friends, and emergency and medical professionals saved my life. Thanks to Gerald Johansson, K9STP in Clinton, Iowa, for this report. We wish you well, Gerald. This is the February 18, 2015 edition of the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN reporting. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter, or if you're listening on the Internet, by sending an email to kz3ab@arl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club, or if you're listening online. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. We'll pause again for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Please stand by. Now, Aries reporting. Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, writes, following up on Rick's article in last month's e-letter on the importance of reporting on Aries activity, I would like to share with our readers the headquarters side of reporting. Aries reports begin with the local emergency coordinator. Each month, the EC submits a report to the SEC providing information on the health of Aries in their area of responsibility. This information comes from two forms. First, the EC monthly report and the public service activity report. The monthly report gives the overall picture of the local Aries group, and the public service activity report gives details on specific Aries activations. Additionally, the EC submits to ARRL headquarters an EC annual report. Second, the next level of reporting comes from the section emergency coordinator. The SEC submits a monthly report to ARRL headquarters based on the information he or she receives from the DECs and ECs in their section. This is the report that ARRL headquarters uses to determine how many Aries members there are in each section, the number of nets, and how many hours they spent on various Aries activities. When amateurs go to local government agencies, whether to offer communications assistance or to seek permission to put up an antenna, our role in emergencies and disasters is often a focal point. To back up our case requires data, specifically numbers that tell the story of what we do. This comes from the Aries report forms. They tell what we do locally, in our state, and nationally. Well, in an ideal world, they do. Unfortunately, we have a reporting problem. I often hear from SECs that say their ECs are not reporting regularly, either with monthly reports or activity reports. And the total number of EC annual reports received at headquarters do not reflect the actual number of ECs in the field organization. Likewise, we're not hearing from our SECs either. In 2013, only 32% of all ARRL sections submitted an SEC monthly report. The reports received that year paint a picture of only 12,000 Aries members in the entire United States. That's less than 175 members per section, not an impressive number at all. But we know it's not accurate, and a better picture can be painted by estimating the amount of Aries activities in the non-reporting sections. Unfortunately, it does not help us when we go to state or national partners and don't have accurate numbers to back up what we do. Granted, we may never see 100% reporting, but we should see better reporting numbers than what we have in the past. There are many causes of the reporting problem. Many sections have their own online resources for managing Aries, but generally these systems don't have a mechanism to provide data to ARRL headquarters. On the headquarters side, our online forms need a tremendous amount of work. They lack standardization and data processing capability on the back end. These are issues we're working on, and hopefully you'll see progress in the next few months. And finally, as I know from my own experience in the field organization, boredom is an enemy to reporting. Simply put, you're less likely to submit a report if nothing happened that month. And, as we know, missing 1 month's report makes it easier to miss the next month's report. So, what do we need to do? Here at headquarters, we need to continue working to improve the reporting mechanisms for the field organization. We need to be better at all levels of ARES about submitting the necessary report, even when nothing is going on. All of this information needs to be more useful to all levels of ARES. And that's the ARRL ARES Audio e-letter for February 18, 2015. The ARRL ARES Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL ARES Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES e-letter. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2015 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.